I greet you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, and I'm so happy to be here. And I bring greetings from Uganda, Africa, from your fellow brothers and sisters. God has been so good to us, and we are seeing His goodness. We are seeing His mighty hand, and He's saving people. He's keeping and protecting His people, and He's guiding His people. We don't regret why we are in Uganda, because this time we are seeing our God in action than ever before. And many people, they are really they are giving their life to Christ than ever before. And there are so many prophecies that going on every time that revival is coming up from Uganda to take over the whole continent of Africa and to the uttermost part of the world. I can't deny the fact that we are seeing many people now traveling many countries of Africa from Uganda and being invited to speak in seminars and start churches. And just shortly before I go back home, I'm going to Southern Sudan, and I was very surprised to hear that Pastor Jim was in Southern Sudan. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Sorry about that. That he was in Southern Sudan, and I was happy to hear that. And I'm also going to Malawi with my fellow Pastor Vincent Kashaija. And I was in Botswana, where I saw God touching many people and encouraging many others. So we thank God that we are in Africa. We are in Uganda, the place where the devil wanted to destroy that country and put it down to nothing, but God is reviving and resurrecting our country. And I'm really, really thankful for that. Bring greeting from Sarah. She conveyed her greetings to each one of you here, our daughters, and our last son, Jonathan. She's growing up and in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and people. You can wonder how he performs in class, and also the way he talks beyond his age. So we believe that he's going to be a mighty preacher, a mighty servant of God. I came here in the men's conference. You remember Eddie Cole? So it was there from 7th to 9th, which is last Saturday. I mean yesterday. It was yesterday. And right after that, I said I have to go and visit my fellow brothers and sisters of a different mother.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So this is my second home. I don't deny the fact that God actually connected me with Emmanuel Church in a very significant way, in a very supernatural. It was a divine appointment, because this is where actually I got the real truth of the Word of God. And we have a reason to celebrate 50 years of Pastor Jim in Uganda, because it is now over 20 years since we are connected to his 50 years in ministry. And you can't believe how God has changed many things in Uganda. He has really taking our ministry to another level, that we are so blessed, and not only in our ministry, but it is taking over the whole country, because we are traveling all over the country teaching the truth, especially family and marriage. I've been on the radio for the last 16 years, and going around and teaching in seminars and crusades and starting churches on islands, on different towns, and sister churches, starting new churches. So I'm so grateful, and I wonder how God does and perform his work. Because when you go back and you talk about Emmanuel, nobody knows Emmanuel Church. And there are so many people who have come to America, and they don't know much about Emmanuel Church. Where is Emmanuel Church? Is it in Texas? It's but that so-called small church, that's where God is doing an incredible work. And if you have never heard anybody telling you that you guys, you are special in the kingdom of God, here I am. I'm telling you, you are very special in the kingdom of God. And the fruits of your labor will never end up in vain. Someone was teaching, and he said that a fountain always blesses those who are far. When it flows. So Emmanuel Church is blessing us in the far country across the Sahara and Atlantic Ocean. We get the blessings there, which are very, very incredible. Today, when Pastor Jim told me to speak, God gave me a message. But today, we don't have the projector to show the video. But Pastor Jim always say that there is always an alternative. I came with this this one, and I think from here, from here, some of you can see. What is there? And it is a short video with I think seven minutes. Just the volume is. That's how it can go. Can you help me? Can you help lift it up? No, I mean the voice. That's the 20 acres where we grow corn, and this time we harvested 175 bags, 120 kilograms each bag. And that is the doctor. We got him when he was 3 months, but now he's the doctor in our new. Thank you.
This is the new clinic, and it's almost finished, but they still have several rooms that are fully functional. But there's like two rooms or more that still need to be finished. And we just built that in the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably in this year. We built the buildings, but a lot of it finished off.
Right. So, especially the roof was a miracle. That is another branch where I was born. That's another clinic.
There's another clinic that they built in his hometown.
That's we have just opened that one 1 month ago.
What's the name of that town?
It's called Bwanda. Bwanda. That's where I was born.
It's another clinic?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Four.
This doctor is Dennis's. Remember Dennis?
Yeah.
It's his brother.
So there was a doctor for each clinic then?
Now we have one doctor, but he moved back and forth. Yeah, but we have nurses there.
Did Dennis go back to Uganda?
No, he's still here. He went to Kenwa Bridge. I came with him in this conference. So after conference, he came to Okinawa Bridge and then back to Uganda.
He's still feeding about 800 children, more or less, every day. 800 all together?
835.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is now the new school, secondary school. That is 8th grade to 11th grade.
This is the new high school.
Yeah.
Did build this year.
Oh, my God.
Built the walls, the ceiling. It's all ready to go. I think a little bit left.
Yeah.
So they save a lot of money because they don't have to send to other schools, which had to pay for it. Now they save all the money. And then the neighborhood can come too. So.
And they get to teach the kids in the most critical years.
Yeah.
Then sending them off to secular school. 13 to 18.
That one is my son. His father left him when he was 7 months.
Wow.
Eddie.
Yeah.
And his brother, John, is the one who drives the tractor.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So this is all this year, basically.
Right.
How much progress we made.
Amazing.
I'm so sorry for the volume, but...
You can
hear a little bit of it.
Picture is worth a thousand.
I wasn't even all
kinds of roosters.
Thursday, I'll
need
to have someone
to
amplify
it.
We did, I've got something like that.
Thursday, you can bring it.
At least you can see.
Yeah, but for the men to hear it.
And this is what I think you didn't hear there, and I just want to read this to you, and you'll be praying for us, because this is actually what we need urgently. Our medical center, was promoted to third grade. I mean, grade three medical center,
right.
Which is we didn't expect that, because from grade one and jump grade two to get grade three, and they have decided to make our medical center to be a center of supply. I mean, where they bring the medical supplies, and then from there they supply like 100 miles ago to different clinics around. And that is going to begin early this coming year. And that is a big deal to us, and we are very, very thankful to God. But what I realized, every blessing comes with a challenge. So we have to put in place something like 3 birth stroke delivery beds, and those are 3 delivery beds. Each one costs $350, and then we have to have what they call the ultra scan machine, which costs about $2,000 together. So those two items, we need them before they come to inspect us, and because we didn't ask them to put us to that level, but we are surprised. They said that's what we are now. So we need much prayers in that area. And the secondary with the beds, the new secondary level, 8th to 11th grade, we have all the buildings. We have, especially, we thank God for the building. Last time I was here, we got some money to complete one long building you saw here. And also we got some money for the clinic. So I'm so thankful, but still we need 50 beds, and each bed costs like $80. And of course, we need benches, also 50 benches, the benches where the kids sit and write, which is actually cost $40 each, and the total is also $2,000. In total, this is $9,500, both the clinic and the school. So you pray for us, and I believe that God, our Father, is able to supply the needs of his people. Today, when Pastor Jean told me to speak, in fact, I prayed and God gave me the message. And the message, I get it from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning from verse 20. 1 Thessalonians. I don't know whether you understand me when I pronounce that book, but it's 5:20. 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry about that.
No, don't worry. Learning Lugano.
And it is verse 20. It goes like this. My phone betrays me. The theme of my subject today is God is looking for a witness. He's the one going to do and do it all. He's just looking for a witness. And the scripture, I think, which I didn't read here, it says that God who started this good work is able to do it. As I said, God is just looking for a witness. But he's God in action. He's doing all his work. He's doing it all. But he's just looking for a witness. And I remember what he said, that you will be my witness. You will be my witness from Judea, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And a witness of what? Witness of his love, and a witness of his great works he's doing in our time, especially in these end times where God is really aiming to reach every type of people, every capacity, reaching all the nations. Because the Bible says that the gospel shall be preached to all nations before the end comes. So, but God is looking for a witness that is going to be a moving with, that will witness of his greatness and the mighty things that he's doing in our time. Mm-hmm. I remember Daniel discovered that mystery. He said that he has preserved me. He has really left me in this world so that I may declare the mighty works and wonders of God. So God is looking for a witness. I believe that. I think one time I was here and I gave you a funny story about an elephant. And I want to repeat that story again. The story goes like this, that an elephant, a gigantic elephant, this gigantic animal, was going to cross the metal bridge. And this bridge was so long to cross. And he saw a little chameleon on the side of the road. And he said, "Mr. Chameleon, what are you doing here? Let us go and cross the bridge." And the chameleon looked around to see where he can touch. Every part of the body was huge. But the elephant said, "Okay, you can jump over my tail because that is the small part of my body. And then we will cross the bridge. And another condition, you have to change your color and look like me." Telling the chameleon to do that, it's just a song. It's like telling the Christian to sing, "Oh, God is good." So he changed his color and he jumped over the tail, and this gigantic animal started crossing the bridge. But because of the weight and the heaviness of this gigantic animal, every step that he took, the bridge was shaking the side, shaking another side like that, shaking another side. And Mr. Chameleon was so scared. And he thought that the bridge was going to break. And when he looked down where they can follow, he realized that nobody was going to survive. They are going to die. But the elephant never mind about that. He just went on crossing the bridge. And the bridge was going sideways every step he takes, and clacking like going to be broken. They crossed over the bridge, and all the time Mr. Chameleon was so scared. He was so terrified that he's not going to survive. But good enough, they made it to the other side of the bridge. And when they crossed over, Mr. Chameleon went all over the communities around saying that me and an elephant, we have shaken the bridge. What he was saying was true, but the only mistake he did was to say me and an elephant. It is true that Mr. Chameleon didn't do anything. It was this gigantic animal and his heaviness and made the bridge to be shaken back and forth. But he went everywhere witnessing the good and the true report, but in a very wrong way. Me and an elephant, we have shaken the bridge. But the elephant just wanted a witness, someone who was going to tell what happened where they were crossing the bridge. God is just looking for a witness that is going to go and walk with him daily in order to be telling out the truth of what God is doing in our time. That is happening everywhere. Just recently, yesterday, From Thursday to Saturday, we gathered men from all over the world, from all over the globe. I was wondering to hear what God is doing in our time. When you look outside there, you may think that maybe the devil is taking over. But I tell you what, this weekend, last week, that's when I realized that God is doing an incredible work, even in countries that you have never expected God to do. Can you imagine that Iran, that's where you find one of the fastest growing church in the whole world. Can you imagine Iran? I don't expect anything good from Iran. I'm seeing only terrorism and terrorists and those chaos. But that's where this church is growing so fast than many other countries in the world. Can you believe China? God is doing an incredible China in that communist country. And the church is growing more than any other countries. God is unstoppable. He's going to cause his work to triumph. Yeah. And he's drawing many people to himself than ever before. He's going to move everywhere. I was able to sit with somebody from one of those Arab countries, Indonesia, and he was telling me how and what God is doing in Indonesia. I was very excited to hear what God is doing in Indonesia. Give you an example. This one guy, God called him, and he never wanted to give totally himself to the service or to the ministry. So he started driving people. You call that one cab driver. He started driving people and they spare a very little time to reach people and talk to people. And one time he was driving and he knocked a young man. This is a true story. He knocked a young man, and the young man died. And the whole community came to finish him, to kill him. They came with rods, sticks, and stones to come and kill this man. And he shouted, "Jesus!" And when he shouted, "Jesus!" instantly, all the people, they stood still, like someone's stricken by a lightning. They didn't do anything. Then the police came, they took the dead body, and he was taken to the police to make the statement. After the statement, he went to the hospital to be able to see the family and to see the dead boy. So When they saw him, they said, "We finish him." But they came to finish him. And then again, accidentally, he said, "Jesus!" And they stood still. Then he said, he realized that now my greatest weapon is the name of Jesus. Wow. Whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Then he said he wanted to see the dead boy. They said, "No, he was taken to the mortuary." And he said, "I want to go to see him." He insisted. They said, no, you can't go. He said, "I want to go." So they took him to the mortuary. He grabbed the young man and he prayed him back to life. And he brought this young man back to the family. The entire family got saved. When they took the boy back to the community, the whole community, majority, got saved. And now, he ended up having like 100 members in his church. 100. And after some time, they came and killed 90 of them. So they stopped fellowshipping in that place. They started having fellowship in hidden places. And one time God told him to go and hire a national soccer stadium to have to have church in the stadium. And this guy said, Lord, you want even the tent to die? And God said, no negotiation, go and do what I've said. So he went to the people concerned, and they said, no, there is nothing, we can't do that. But one of them said, okay, let us grant him the permission, and we take his money. Where is he going to get the people? So they said, okay, now permission granted. And he said, I don't have the money. I'm going to pay after 1 week. You give me a week, and then I'll pay. Oh, they said, no. Then one of them said, let us grant him the permission, and he's going to end up in jail. He will end up in jail. So they said, okay, you have the permission, and they gave him the papers. So he brought his people, and they started praying around the stadium. 1 week later, they had 500 people in the stadium. And they say, and he said, now there are over 100 members. Can you imagine in Indonesia, the Muslim country? And they say, he said that now they are building the tallest prayer tower, which is costing more than $500 million. And people, they are giving like crazy from all over the world. They are giving to the construction of that. That is our God. That is beyond my understanding, my faith, and my ability. The one who works beyond and above of what we can think and pray. He's in action. He's our God. But leave apart that. The Mr. Chameleon made a mistake. He was chosen by an elephant to be a witness. But he just he put himself in front of the elephant. Me and an elephant, we are shaking the bridge. But I'm here, brother, to tell you that God is in action. He's looking for ordinary, for extraordinary work. That's why I don't die. I don't get tired coming here. Because I realized that God, when he's going to do something, it's not all about the number. Mm-hmm. He's not limited by the number of people. He's not limited by any circumstance. If it is his fullness of time, he's going to do it whether people like it or not. I have a scripture. Pastor Jim, last time when I came here, he spoke that scripture to my life, and that scripture never went out of my heart and even in my brain. It is Psalms chapter 68, verse 9. If there is anybody who can read us that scripture, you can do it for me. Because I think if I read your English version, especially King James, you are going to laugh me under the table. verse 9.
Psalm.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary.
Is that 19? I think I...
I'm sorry.
I said 19.
Okay. I was waiting for you to make something out of that. 19.
Yes.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
Blessed be the Lord, who loads us with benefits. He loads us with benefits. What I've realized, what God is going to do, is always put it on your heart. It is always on your heart. Sometimes it's not even easy. I mean, it is not always under our ability. Sometimes it's heavy, and it's a benefit. Sometimes you feel the heaviness in your spirit. When he said that, I remembered so many times when God put something on my heart, and I have to learn in Uganda what we call the hidden chambers, where you hide yourself and power your heart. I always go on my knees and bring this back to Him. You know, the scripture says that cast all your burdens unto Him. He brings it in our hearts, and we take it back to Him, and He brings it into existence. If you are a leader, if you are serving God, God is always going to put something on your heart. And you always, it is beyond your ability. You don't know how you are going to go about it. You don't know how, when, where, and how it's going to happen. But God always knows that. When God spoke to us to start this ministry, it was beyond. And when I came in this country in 1998, I went back home and I said, Lord, if you take me back home safely, I will never go back to America. and I say, because I didn't make any friend. Nobody. And until 1999, when Ken Walbridge brought me in. But God spoke to me and He said, you never make it without them. You need each other. Because of what I'm about to do, you never do it alone. You need each other. That's when I started building, coming back to US in the same conference, this Christian Men's Network. Then after that, that's when Ken Walbridge brought me here. But when I looked at the people, we are six pastors. And when I looked at the number of people, and when I heard Pastor Jim speak, I was somehow disappointed. And so others. Because when we went back, five of them never wanted to come back here. They never wanted to come back to Fort Worth Church. But within, deep in my spirit, I had that inner soft voice telling me to go back in that church. And I told our host that after taking these people to TD Jakes and church and other churches, take me back to that church where I went. That's where we started. And I'm very surprised of what God has done. Apart from the message, apart from the truth, the word of God, even the things we wanted to put in place, which we didn't know how was going to happen, started in Emmanuel Church. And Pastor Jim, we have a reason to celebrate 50 years. Because ever since, I think it was two years ago, it was 20 years since I was connected to this church. But I thank God for you guys who have come, taking your time to come to Uganda. And apart from your foot that has stepped in Uganda, I can't even tell you what God has done through this small flock, through the 50 years ministry. I missed the celebration which took place. Was it last Sunday? The other Sunday? 2 Sundays ago? But we gathered together like 15 of us. Me and other leaders of our ministry, and we celebrated home. We celebrated home, and we prayed for Pastor Jim and Peggy, and we prayed for Emmanuel Church, and all of those whereby this ministry has really given them an impact. I reached everywhere. And when I came here, Peggy told me that hundreds of people came. And those who were touched by the ministry in 50 years. I was very, very excited to hear that. You never know how God can use somebody. Ordinary for extraordinary work. He loads us with benefits.
Amen.
Not only our benefit, even to benefit others. God is just looking for a witness and is going to load him with benefits that is going to benefit thousands of people. Just as he did with Moses, Joseph, Daniel, and most of all Jesus Christ when he came in this body. One person, God is taking over and he's benefiting the whole world because of one man. So I thank God that 2 weeks ago, you guys, you celebrated somebody's ministry of 50 years. I'm not yet their pastor. And I believe even it's not yet over. There was an elderly man of God in Uganda by the name of Laban Jumba. He was 65 and he was celebrating saying, God, I'm almost reaching the time of my retirement. He was celebrating and can't wait to retire from the work of God he was doing. And God spoke to him and he said, all of those past years, I was preparing you for the ministry, for the work you are soon going to begin. I don't know whether you understood what I said. All of those 65 years from childhood, I've been putting your life together through different circumstances and situations and places and tests and trials to be able to use you the rest of your life. What I've realized, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about the leaders of different groups. For example, the army commanders. Sometimes they don't go for war. When the Israelites came to take their people from Uganda, those who were hijacked by the Philistines, this is the story they told us, that they had 3 commanders. One was in Israel, another one was up in the air in the plane which didn't land, and another one was on the front line. But the greatest of all was the one who stayed in Israel. They had to listen to him. Even if he was not on the ground, he was not up in the air, he was not, but he was there. He was there in Israel. He was the leader of the whole group that restored their people from danger. The more we grow in ministry, the more we become commander's pastor. Never hesitate to send us the message, to send people to us to bring the message, because we still believe that God has much in store for us through you and through our other members of this church. This morning I was thinking about Abraham. Abraham, when God told him to sacrifice his only beloved son to give him as a sacrifice, and Abraham, I don't know how he experienced that time. It was so hard. It was very hard to bear. But I thank God that Abraham trusted God and believed that God was going to bring his son back to life, to resurrect him. He listened and obeyed. So he took God told him, in fact, the story is Genesis 22, beginning from verse 2. And God told him that he's going to show him the place, the mountain, where he wants this young man to be sacrificed. But when he reached there, God had already had another plan. There was a sheep already. And God said, Abraham, now I know, but don't kill the son. There is the sacrifice. Instead of Isaac, God had already prepared the sacrifice for Abraham. It is true that when we listen and obey, God always has the plan for everything we are going to encounter. Yes, in everything we are taught to do, let it be business, let it be missionary work, let it be any kind of ministry, let it be even a wife. The Bible says that a good wife always comes from the Lord. God prepared things already for us. What he wants is to our ear to hearken his voice and obey. And sometimes he loads us with benefits that is unbearable, beyond our understanding. And we can't even tell how he's going to do it. But when we learn to listen and obey, we are going to see the incredible work of God. We are going to see the love of God. God is going to take us to people we have never expected before. One time, there is a guy who came from Kentucky by the name of Alan. He came to Uganda, and I wanted to test him whether he's a real true missionary or servant of God. I took him to an interior area, very far deep in the villages there. And it rained. And you know, in Africa, you don't have to come when it is raining. So we went, and there are these deep potholes, and the car was going, the van was going like this, and going through the forests. And I looked at him, and he was terrified. He was not sure what was going to happen. But when we reached that village, he was very surprised to find more than 300 people waiting for him. They are ready and eager to hear the word of God. They sat for 3 days listening to the man of God teaching. The brother cried, and he cried, and he cried. And the results of this ministry and teachings were incredible. God performed so many miracles. God can take you to places you have never expected before when you listen and obey. Thank God, Abraham is our perfect example. This was a hard thing to do. But when he made sure that this is God, he said, okay, God knows what is next. He took a step of going where he told him to go and do what God told him to do. But God intervened divinely, and he provided. He's our great provider. Last week, I got this profound truth in my spirit, that we should not look for provision, but we have to put our eyes to the provider. He knows, and he always blows our mind the way he's going to do things. This morning when I was praying about this time, God reminded me another story about feeding the 5,000 men with only 2 fish and 5 loaves. He taught these people. And the disciples, they said, Master, set them free. Let them go and buy the food. They are hungry. They have children. You better stop your message and let them go and buy food from markets. And here Jesus say, no, you don't have to let them go. Feed them. That was a very hard thing. How can somebody feed 5,000 men without counting women and children? That was a bunch of people. I mean, that was really beyond human understanding. There is no way you can tell me to feed 5,000. And when they looked in their treasure, there was just very, very, very little money. But thank God. The Bible says that one of them said, there is a young boy here with only 2 fish and 5 loaves. But listen what he said. But these are too many people. The 5 loaves and 2 fish can't do anything. This is beyond. There are too many. That is, don't know the mistake he did. Because with God, which whether it is small or big, he doesn't care. He can multiply it. He can use that small. And the Bible says, never despise the days of small beginnings. Mm-hmm. Never despise the little with God is better and even greater than much without God. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, bring that over. There is no way we can give any excuse when God calls us, when God speaks. There's no way we can give any excuse, because God is just looking for a witness. He's not looking for someone with big money. In fact, when God confirmed to me that he has called us to take care of the kids, I thought that God was going to give me a wealthy man like Tiger Woods and T.D. Jakes and many others that will help me to advance this ministry. But God spoke to me and he said, no, not every rich man is given an opportunity to participate in what he's doing. And he said, it's not going to take one man, it's going to take the kingdom. I realized later that in the kingdom of God, there is everything. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. In the kingdom of God, there is everything. And God prepares people in places where he's going to tell somebody to go. That's why he told me to come to Emmanuel. But I just like, God, is there anything good? Is there anything there that is going to come out? I was like this guy who said, only 2 fish and 5 loaves. Wow. But this is nothing compared to the number of people we are. You told us to feed, Master. This is a hard thing. It's a big test and a trial. There is no way we can feed these people. But he forgot that what is impossible to man is very easy and possible to God. I'm a true witness of that. Yes. I was one of the most despised person in the family of my father. And I grew up, my siblings giving me nicknames, bad names, and I used to fight them because I didn't want them to call me like that. I grew up like that. Just recently, one of our brother over another father. I don't know how you call that one here. He's an elderly man now, almost 80 years. He called one of our pastor in the village where I was born, where we started the ministry. And he said, let me tell you something. In the family of our father, Joel is somebody we never expected to do anything. Nothing. We expected him to do nothing for himself, even for others. Nothing. But I don't know what is taking place now. He's building a town. He's just building a town there. When he saw a big church building, and he saw the buildings of the school, and the teachers' quarters, and the kitchen, and the borehole, and then the clinic we have just opened up a few months ago. He's overwhelmed. I mean, he's surprised. He can't understand what is going on. God is using ordinary for extraordinary work. The only thing we have to do is to listen and obey. Listen and obey. I just want to mention some few things here. In 20 years, can you believe that in 20 years, we have now four different locations where we are operating? We have schools. The way we got the first place is amazing. And I remember Janet, when she came to Uganda, she challenged me somehow. She never wanted to use our pit latrine. And she told me, take me back to your house. And it was a long distance. And I thought, Lord, someone wants to use the restroom. How can she endure until we drive like 15 miles away? Good enough, there was a Catholic diocese there. The idea came and I said, maybe they have a Western style restroom. Thank God it was there. But from that time I said, we have to have a Western style restroom for the to be the convenience of our many brothers come from from another world. Amen. But we have 46 acres. We have dormitories, and we have classes, and we have prayer gardens, and we have installed electricity from a far distance, and we have cows, we have now pigs. We sold recently 35 pigs, and we have more 30, and we are aiming 200 pigs at a time. We have the fields where we are growing our own food, and now it is 25 acres. We added more 5 acres. Just recently, we harvested 175 bags of corn, yeah. And 120 kilograms each bag. That was good. And we have already planted, and we are expecting 250 bags this time because it is raining so good, and we are no longer worried of food. Because at the same time we got even the beans, the silos, where when we harvest the corn, we keep and store our corn for as long as we want. And I've just told the pastor that somebody came from West Virginia, a pastor of like 10 people, 12 people. I mean, he has a church of 12 people. He came and he said that God told him that that he has to buy a van for me. And I had a used van. It is old, but it could serve the purpose. By that time, I was toiling, I mean, struggling to buy the nearby plot. Many we had to pay the balance. And I told him that instead of buying the van, why don't we use this money and pay the balance of this land? It is on my shoulder. It's a loaded the burden. The benefit on my shoulder. And he said, no, Pastor, I have to fulfill what God has told me. God told me to come and buy a van. And I have to do that. So we went to many different places where they are selling vans. And we got this one. And he didn't have enough money to pay the van. And he called back home and he said, help me, guys. And they sent the money and we bought the van. But I thought that maybe it is not an urgent need. And I was like, God, the land. Because that's where I want to construct a four-storage building, commercial building, where we will always get money to support this, to support the champions forever. I needed that part of the land badly, but I realized later that with this land we bought with Pastor Jim and you guys, it was a far distance, 90 miles away. And to get there, the van I had could not serve the purpose. We needed this four-wheel drive that could go up on the hills and go in those potholes there and reach there. God always see beyond and above of how we can see. He knows exactly what we need. And he uses ordinary people. I was very surprised. I was not sure that this pastor was serious of what he was saying. I'm driving that van now. The people in town, they think I'm a very wealthy man. This four-wheel drive which goes everywhere. I mean, very few people driving that van. But here I am, I'm driving. Those who don't know the story, they have to listen when I'm talking about God, the provider. God who knows what we need and what He can supply is beyond and above if we listen and obey. And this pastor went back home happy. He called me 3 months later and he said that they wanted a land for their new church. And they didn't have money. They were only 12 people. But he said that her sister got some money. I don't know how, but maybe somewhere. And he said, is there any need you have? And when he explained the need of the land, his sister said, paid off. And he said, due to the obedience he did by listening and obey, God provided him something he never expected to be done. Brothers and sisters, let it be a job. Let it be a missionary work or places where God tells you to go. Don't ask so many questions. Just listen and obey. When I came to Emmanuel Church, I didn't know what God had in plan. And when I talked to Pastor Jim, he said, I don't have to come. I can't come to Africa. Right. But you see, later on, when he obeyed and came, see what God has done. It's like that two boys Jesus talked about. The Bible says that his father told one of them to go and do something. And he said, no, I'll not do it. And the other one said, okay, I'll do it. But he never did it. But later on, this one who hesitated, he came to himself and he said, okay, let me go and do it. So I think that's how sometimes how we are. Because when God speaks, At the beginning, you can't believe it. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it is so big. Sometimes it's bad places. Sometimes it's bad people. You people, you don't know much about Africa. Even ourselves, there are places where you have to take a deep breath to go there. But sometimes that's where God tells us to go. One time he told us to go to an island. How much time do I have? We need to go, okay. He told us to go to an island, and it was so hard. Anyway, long story short, they wanted to kill us there. And everybody wanted to leave the place. But I told them, God spoke, and he told us to come. Nothing wrong is going to happen here. And I told them, if you don't mind, sing only two songs and hand over that microphone to me, and I will preach Christ crucified, because I know he's the answer to this island. We are so much darkness, all sorts of evil and sin committed on that island. See, they needed the light to shine in that darkness, and that light is the gospel. Yes. Jesus to be introduced to them. And I said, we'd rather die than going without introducing Jesus to this island. Oh, they said, Pastor, we want us to die. I said, okay, you hide yourself. I will preach. They did accordingly. I started preaching, and I saw these two people, one from this side, another side with a pistol. In Uganda, you can't have a gun. When they find you with a pistol, 7 years in prison. So I knew it might be time to go home. But I said, this is a good way to go home. This is the right good way to go home, preaching the gospel. Then I continued preaching, and I saw them standing still at a distance, doing nothing. I preached another 45 minutes, and I made an altar call. Do you know the first people coming running to give their life to Christ? Yeah. The people with pistols who were sent to come and kill me. And he told us how much money they were promised to give them. And they said they are ready to witness in the court if you want to sue those people. And those were religious people, leaders of different religion there on the island. They made a meeting, and they wanted to pay somebody to kill me because they saw many people coming to the Lord, leaving their churches. But you know what? We said, no, our God has intervened. We don't have to do anything. We took the pistols to the police, but they wanted to know who the people that had those pistols. We said, that is none of your business. God has intervened. We can't reveal those people. But here are the guns. Then those two brothers, they are going from an island to another island to another island to another island, preaching the gospel. And they are scared of nothing, because they realize that you can't kill a man of God unless by the will of God. We should not be scared when God speaks. There are so many people here, they say, when I go to Uganda, when I go to Africa, what if I die there? I told some of them that what makes it important today in America? And you're going to die anyway. When God speaks, that is the time we are going to see the incredible, mighty work of God. That's where God is going to do something beyond and above of what we think and pray. I'm sorry, I can't go any more than this, but I want to pray for you. I'm not just going to pray for the sick and the other needs, but I'm also going to pray for God to help each one of you, each one of us, to have that hearkening ear, to hearken and obey. Whether he tells you to go to look for a job, you go and do it. Whether he tells you anything and you test that and you prove that it is God, please be obedient and just walk with God there, and you will see what God is going to do. What an incredible work he's doing in our time. If you don't mind, let us stand up on our feet. And let us lift up our hands to God. Father, we are standing before you. You are great and mighty. In all generations, Lord, you prove yourself that you are God. Though Satan rages and darkness take over, you are still God who can change everything on positive. Father, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. We have been known each other for over 20 years. First of all, I want to thank you for the incredible work you have done between us. There is something we can say. There is a testimony we can give. There is a way we can worship you, Lord, more than ever before. And because the Bible says that without miracles and signs and wonders, they will never believe. But from what we have seen, your hand, your love, your mercy, your wonderful word that will never come back to you in void. Father, I believe that you are here. I pray for everybody here. You know each and every one's needs. And the Bible says that you are sufficient for all the needs of thy people. Lord, I pray that by your power that raised you from the dead, and by your stripes, Lord, I declare those who are sick to be healed.
Hallelujah.
Those who have pain, those who are going through difficult time, let the power of God come down upon you. And let God get you through. And let God pave the way where there's no way. And let God give you victory and success for his glory. So that you may have a testimony. So that you may be a witness of God in our time that God did it. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Father. There are so many distractions. The voices everywhere. Some voices are very scary. The terrorism and economical circumstances and many other things, Lord, that going on. So many voices, Father. But I ask you, God, Holy Spirit, you know how to bear our weakness. Help us to have that ear to hear what you say to the church, what you say to each and every individual, so that, Lord, we may be witnesses of what you are doing in our lives individually, of what you are doing in our homes, what you are doing, Father, in our time, in our dispensation, our generation, Lord. What a move of God. Unstoppable. You can't be hindered. You can't be prohibited. You are God who causes us to triumph. Lord, I say, speak to us, and we shall be listening. And help us to obey. Thank you, Father. I give you all the praises and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.